Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast.
We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Smarks and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz. I am joined, as always, by Eric the Turtle Golden.
I'm here.
What's up, Eric?
I'm like Stone Cold. I'm here.
Yeah, you're just here. We're going to talk to you a little about the Raw reunion show today on our Raw recap episode. Last night was, I thought, very poetic in that it was on the anniversary of the Invasion pay-per-view, because just like the Invasion pay-per-view, it accomplished absolutely nothing.
So I told you before we started recording, it was probably my favorite of the reunion shows or the anniversary shows or the any excuse to bring back a dated wrestler show. It was fun for me.
I hated it. And I am always the WWE apologist here. I always try to look for the good. It accomplished nothing. Turtle, there are two more Raws before SummerSlam.
Correct.
That's the second biggest show of the year. At the second biggest show of the year, what are you looking forward to? What's the big angle you're hoping to see get blown off? Where's the money? What are they doing?
Stone Cold was back yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, he was.
I genuinely don't know what's going to happen at SummerSlam aside from another Brock Lesnar-Seth Rollins match.
Yeah, great.
Like, I guess I'm sort of excited
for... three of those this year.
For Becky Natty. Like, it was a cool little... That's probably the most accomplished thing they did last night, is further that storyline.
Yeah, it was the only segment where a legend didn't bury a... And I never say bury because it's a stupid word.
Yes.
But AJ Styles is your top guy, and he got chased off by a bunch of geriatric old men. You and I could have beaten up that group of dudes last night.
Yeah.
When Road Dogg looks like the only physical threat. Like, that was goddamn ridiculous. I was so offended by Raw last night. It made no sense.
First of all, let's skip one step back for half a second. The OC?
Yeah, okay.
I just hear the theme song for that god-awful TV show in my head.
Who came up with this nonsense? Like, of all the things you could have called it, Styles Club. Styles Clash.
I don't mind the original club, but just going
the club.
The OC is the weirdest freaking thing I've ever seen.
OG Club, literally anything. The OC, and they already have shirts, so this is the name. It's not like the Viking Raider War Experience
thing.
Yeah, it's.
I like. Here's what I like about
what
did the, they the whole,
what was good last night? Like what I made like, you go, oh, cool?
I like the Samoa Joe Roman match, but Kevin, and we have a group text obviously for the podcast here. Keenan chimed in and said, "What you shouldn't give that match away for free." I get it, but it's something. You have to give the Raws something. So I didn't mind that match.
Hopefully I don't mind it if it leads to something else. Unfortunately, it didn't, because Samoa Joe just lost clean again, like he always does. One, your best heel. He's your best heel. He is.
Well, second now to AJ, but I agree with you.
What's AJ done? Is he just got chased off by a bunch of old men.
Sadly, I didn't expect much from the show other than to kind of reminisce and just
what
be
was,
happy.
And, what,
and I did.
What did you even reminisce? Like, Stone Cold comes out and cuts a crybaby promo where he talks about
bad.
He's an alcoholic. Like, we know, dude. We know.
That was bad.
He didn't stun anybody. Vince wasn't there. You have a Kevin Owens-Shane storyline going right now where Kevin is literally doing the Stone Cold stunner. Yeah, it's not even on the show.
I agree.
Eric, let me ask you something. Why were any of the current wrestlers there last night?
There was no reason for them to be.
Just give them a bye week. Give them the week off and do a nostalgia show. You can find enough guys to give you 5 to 7 minutes that you needed no current. If you want to do this, the week before Christmas, give everyone off the week of Christmas and bring in a bunch of dudes who need a damn paycheck before Christmas.
That's fair.
Do it. Do that. That was the biggest waste of time, and it accomplished. You have some of the best performers in the history of the business all together last night.
You do.
You bring out Ric Flair for the toast. Did Flair even speak?
No.
He just stood there.
He stood there.
How shit-faced must he have been that they couldn't even have handed him a live mic?
Who was worse off last night, him or RVD?
RVD, at least RVD did what I wanted him to do, was super high, cut a promo about how he works for Impact and you still don't get anything near this kind of crowd, and then he went home. Why does Sergeant Slaughter, who's, I don't know, 422 years old, scare Sami Zayn?
I don't know.
Kurt Angle is crippled. He can't move his arms above his shoulders.
So let's begin with. I agree with some of what you're saying.
Start at the beginning.
I agree with some of what you're saying, but I mean, it's
why do Rikishi and John Cena go together?
What is that?
At least if they had danced, it would have been something. The best part of the show to me was the first 3 minutes. When Cena comes out, and then the Usos come out, and then Cena cuts a couple of lines.
About
at
how
least
they got
that
in jail.
Was something. Yeah.
It was fine.
He talked about how they've been arrested. At least that was something interesting.
I didn't mind the Samoa Joe pre-Roman match, and I understand your complaints
their
about that.
Their verbal altercation was excellent.
Their verbal thing was good. I didn't mind Joe coming out just in general and trashing the night.
No, and that's good.
I didn't mind Sammy trashing the night.
Yeah, they both did the same thing, and then they both lost clean.
Corey Graves trashing the OC line. I don't know if you heard it in there.
He did, yeah. He slipped one in.
I didn't even mind that. So I like that they were almost making fun of themselves.
But then they all lost.
But then everybody lost.
Then they all got proven wrong. Jerry Lawler came out and sucked and was the best announcer on the show. It was a disgrace.
Come on, you enjoy Christian?
I love Christian, but when Renee says, "Where's Edge?" You just buried the guy. You just, he's what, he, where's Edge? I don't know. Oh, well, that's the most interesting thing we were going to find out about.
I liked it for the nostalgia. I liked it for,
it was like,
it just, here's the thing.
If they had done an angle with anybody,
it didn't bore me, I guess, is the ultimate thing.
It was just such a swing and a miss. Like, the only thing that possibly could lead to something is when AJ gets chased off and starts yelling, "I know, I can come see you in Florida. I know where NXT is." If he wants to take the club down there and it leads to Undisputed Era versus them, awesome.
That'd be great.
That's something.
Absolutely.
They should have come out last night. Like, that would have been something.
I guess my biggest problem
with it all... Get somebody over with all these guys. Did you hear those pops? The fans were ready to give these guys a chance.
Absolutely.
And instead, we just had them standing around high-fiving.
It's just the weirdest combination for each event. Like, okay, Rikishi, Uso's fine, I get it. I'll even give you the sort of link between Cena and Rikishi with the rapping and the dancing. I'll even give you that.
What does D'Von Dudley have to do with the revival?
Not a clue in the world.
No one cares about D'Von unless he's with Bubba. And he doesn't tell himself to get the tables.
No. They didn't even do that, which I could have... Okay.
No one got a table. Waste of time. Waste of time and energy. The fact that there were 9 24/7 title switches. 9.
That actually Turtle. Really enjoyed.
Okay. Here's my...
Because it just shows the ridiculousness of that title.
I have liked the 24/7 title since the beginning. We've been a couple months into it now. What does the champion get out of it?
Nothing, except paranoia.
You get chased around and you run away. That's what you get out of being... Or you get beat. That's what you get. Like, the hardcore title was fun, but then there were also scheduled matches. So what they got out of it was actual TV time.
Correct.
The TV time now is just running through the arena aimlessly, looking like a freaking imbecile with nothing else to do. Because clearly you don't have a match that night.
That's
You're
fair.
Chasing Ron Killings around. This was the most pointless, imbecilic episode of Raw.
I think you're turning me right now.
I've never felt worse watching an episode of Raw. It served. You have DX. You have Stone Cold. Didn't stun anybody. Well,
that was the most disappointing part for me.
It's 2019. If this was 2009, and I had no access to watching like high definition clips of Stone Cold in his prime. All right, cool. Stone Cold coming out and doing a beer bash is fine. I've seen him do it 100 times now.
That's fair.
And I also have the WWE Network where right now, as we're talking, I have two devices in front of me. I can bring up a 98 Raw and watch him stun Vince McMahon. Vince wasn't even there.
You're right. That's what I did. The second Stone Cold came out, and obviously I knew Dwayne wasn't going to be there, and that's fine. He's
stupid.
Whatever.
Pay him $20 million. Who gives a shit?
I agree, but I just knew he wasn't going to be there because they didn't promote him, and he wasn't going to be a surprise like that. That's fine. But all I did after Raw was over was look up Stone Cold returns, Rock returns, Dudley Boys returns, like the real ones, not the, I just came back to say hi.
We just had guys waving. It was a comic book convention, except I couldn't even get a picture.
Did you see the picture I sent in the group chat?
Maybe.
So somebody with Shane Helms posted RVD, Slaughter, and Kurt, and said something. We could retweet this from...
Yeah, Helms
obviously
just retweeted it. I think I did too.
Just these smarts and stripes, like, this is the Dollar Store version of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And it was. But it just made me smile. That's why I liked it. There's plenty of Raws where I go through that just go, why in the hell did I watch this? And honestly, it was the same reason last night. Why did I watch it? But it made me smile. It made me remember the theme songs, and I even didn't mind Road Dogg going, also known as da-da-da, also known as da, like mocking the 17 characters that each one of them had.
I had no problem with the entrance. I love DX. It's my favorite thing ever in the history of wrestling. I wish DX was still around. I wish Seth Rollins had rejoined DX last night. Bring out the Undisputed Era. We are now DX with Seth Rollins. Boom. They threw it back to the Attitude Era, and nothing attitudinal happened.
That's fair.
It wasn't hearing Stone Cold's music that was awesome about the Attitude Era. It was hearing Stone Cold's music and then knowing he might attack the corporation with a goddamn beer truck.
Literally watched before you came in here to kind of refresh my mind, Stone Cold saving The Rock. I forget, it was some Backlash pay-per-view. I don't even know what year it was. But he was out for however long because he was busted knees, obviously. Comes back and just music, chair shot to Briscoe, to Patterson, to everyone. Like, legit chair shots. By the way, the same kind of chair shots we're getting mad at, Sean Spears for doing.
And I watched,
but beside the point.
And I was going to get to that later, but since you brought it up, I just watched, it was either Being the Elite or the AEW YouTube channel, which you should absolutely be watching, because guys like Hangman, I can't even remember which one it was, but I think it was Being the Elite. We trash Hangman Page's character last week because he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
He cut on, I think, Being the Elite this week One of the best babyface promos I've seen this year. Like, fair. Incredible. Actually made me interested. There was money in it. Like, actually, I was like, I want to see him fight Jericho now. It's more than a match. It's an angle.
So
like, I actually want to see it now.
I think they're probably, and listen, I'll watch. I've not seen it, and I've never seen a full episode of Being the Elite. It's just not the way wrestling connects with me. But I'll watch it. But
it's what I realize that if you're not watching Being the Elite and you're not watching AEW's YouTube channel, you are very much missing out on how they're trying to tell stories.
Right,
but
and that's their problem. It just to me, it's just too.
They're
soon
not on TV yet, and that's the issue. But real quick on the Sean Spears thing, that chair was very much gimmicked. The seat of the chair was soft. Like, you saw the imprint when it hit the front of Cody's head.
Yep.
The problem is, the top of the chair, the crown of the chair,
was not
gimmicked, and that's what cut open the back of his head. So, like, yeah, all right, I get it. You did an unprotected chair shot and thought you took care, but this is why they're bad, because things go wrong. It's live.
Correct.
Anyway.
I don't know. Just to go back to the Raw thing, and we'll get to AEW as it's on our list here to talk about. It just made me smile, but you're right. Everything that it should have been right. Pay The Rock. Bring him in from Hobbs and Shaw or Jumanji 17 or whatever the hell he's doing now for one night and pay him $20 million.
Actually, like, yeah, and do, if you're going to do Joe Reigns, like, actually, like, do the thing Paul Heyman said. You're the only Samoan not in the family. Like, you had Samoa Joe and a Samoan named Joe, didn't make one reference to it. And Roman's already told us his name is Joe, so, like,
they blew that. I agree. They definitely blew that. Like, I was hoping Joe to go, you know what, not tonight, blah, 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 see you at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I'd have been fine with that, because it's a different match. It's something we don't see all the time. It just, I don't know, you're turning me. You're bumming me out from my high of Stone Cold and No Rock.
I wanted something to happen. We just ran in a circle for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You had 3 hours of television. And here's the thing. Everyone, like, I laughed at a bunch of, like, all the haters online, like, all the people who just don't like WWE. All, this is just a ratings grab. Listen, it's a television show. Everything they do is for ratings. But this actually made sense to me going into it. All right, here's the idea. Here's the idea as it looks to me as we're going into Raw Reunion.
Okay.
We have a new direction. We have Paul Heyman at the helm. Things are changing. We know that we've lost that Attitude Era portion of the audience. The 18 to 24-year-olds especially don't watch wrestling. Let's advertise all the people that everyone loved in the Attitude Era. All those people who left when Stone Cold and The Rock and DX left. Let's say they're here and let's show them our product and how it's changing. You did none of that.
Yeah,
you just had a bunch of guys hugging. You had a bunch of guys instead of showing, hey, remember those fun angles? Well, guess what? We now have amazing athletes doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we have guys who can, remember those cruiserweight matches that were the craziest thing you ever saw? Yeah, like, everyone on our roster can do that stuff now. It's awesome. And we're going to have good, well-told stories to go along with it. Instead of that, you did nothing. Like, okay, maybe you get a little bit of a ratings boost from this. You know what won't happen? Any of those people coming back next week, because all they did was tune in to see Stone Cold drink beer. They wasted 3 hours of television. Now they have 2 weeks to sell SummerSlam, and they won't. Bray Wyatt attacked Mick Foley. That was one thing that. It was one thing that at least made sense. It's one thing that made sense.
I don't know who said it. It might have been one of the other pods or whatever. It's a waste of Bray Wyatt. It's a waste of, I think it was Bubba actually on Busted Open who said it. Bray has to know when to say no for these type of things. Like, great, he came out and gave the mandible claw to Mick Foley, and like it, just like you said.
And now he's attacking people. This is his thing. We talked last week.
Then it has to be consistent over and over again.
Is it just Finn, or is it going to be a group of people? Well, now we've decided it's all fan favorites. Mick Foley, huge fan favorite. Finn Balor, huge fan favorite. So now The Fiend is something that all these guys have to look out for. It's the only thing in 3 hours that made psychological storytelling sense to me.
And it's the one thing I hated the most, truthfully.
It's the only thing that, like, we can do something with next week. Why'd you do that? I didn't. No, that wasn't me.
I hope they take, we talked about this last week. I hope they take that multiple personality angle there.
They did. All right, I'm going to get to this next thing now because I was just so disappointed in Raw last night. They just blew a huge opportunity to show people that the product is changing. And honestly, all I'm doing now is looking forward to AEW. It can't come soon enough because the conclusion I came to after 3 hours of Raw last night, it's never going to be fixed. It's always going to be this. It's never going to be, all right, let's see where the story goes. I know where the story's going. Nowhere.
Well, it's sort of, it's not an excuse. But it's sort of like I put it to Kevin in our group chat. I'll reference it again. It's a kind of a baseball motto. Every show's not going to be good. We know this. Every show's not going to be bad, although there's been more bad than good recently. It's what they do with the ones in the middle, because that's what makes the great shows unbelievable, and even the shittier shows seem better. If they do just average storytelling, most of the time, the 10, 15, 20 shows that are great are going to be seen even better. But it will also make the 10, 15, 20 shows that are crap seem like the worst thing in the world. Possibly like this.
I need to see one story. Like, give me a storyline. I need to see one story.
Sure.
Brock's the champ again. Oh, wow, Paul. It took you a while to come up with that one? Like,
you're not wrong.
Very disappointed. All right.
You've changed my mind.
I'm interested in seeing how it goes tonight. Shawn Michaels will be on commentary for SmackDown. He's never been one for commentary. Shawn Michaels, excellent at getting over Shawn Michaels. That is not the point of commentary.
No.
If this is just another one-night ratings pop, we'll see. If they're trying to advance a story, we'll see. My guess is they're not, because they don't know how.
Well, there's no story with him, so unless it...
Unless it gets back to this AJ Styles thing, I'm interested in. And that's where I want to go with this. At this point in Shawn Michaels' career, do you want to see him in the ring again?
No.
I do, because they've already ruined it. They've already had him wrestle once. It's not like, oh, yeah, that match, his retirement match was his retirement match. If they wanted to keep
nobody's retirement match is
retirement
match.
No one's retired. But if they wanted, like, if CM Punk wants to go away forever, go away forever. Never do anything. The fact that you're even going to be at StarCast is like, all right, just wrestle in, dude. Like, you're clearly a wrestler. You still have a Pro Wrestling Tees website.
That's fine. I agree with that.
He's just
taking a money grab, and good for him for doing that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just, like, if you're going to go away forever, go away forever. If you're not, you're not. Like, and no one goes away forever.
No.
So, I want to see if he can still do it.
So, my first reaction, as you heard, was no. But then I hearken back to my incredibly wrong point about The Undertaker in that match at Extreme Rules that we both witnessed live. Whatever they did for Undertaker there, if you could do that same for Shawn or Stone or The Rock or whoever, freaking do it. Bring them all back.
And that's the Saudi Arabia match with the DX versus the Brothers of Destruction. Like, they had a bunch of stuff planned where they were going to practice. And according to Shawn, they just never had the time. Like, they just needed to do other things. Like, he's helping with NXT. And him and Hunter were, like, going to set aside some time to get some spots together. And they were just like, you know what? We're legends. We don't need to practice.
Well,
and
they did.
It was fine. Like, I mean, Hunter tore his pack, but Shawn looked like he's still an athlete.
Yeah.
I want to see if he can, like, if you put him in there with AJ Styles and gave them 20 minutes, could he do it?
Ooh.
Could he sell for AJ for 20 minutes? Because that's all I'm asking him to do,
yeah,
is sell, do a nip up, maybe an elbow.
Like, can he still do the nip up?
He did one in Saudi Arabia, and he said that was the only thing he was worried about. He's like, I haven't done one since my last match. It's the only thing he was worried about. And as someone who took, at one point in my life, I took a 3-day snow day. School was out, and I taught myself to do one. Just, like, kept doing it over and over until I got it for backyard wrestling.
Fantastic.
And now I can't do it.
Oh, damn.
Like,
it. I was going to have you do it. We could tweet it out.
I've tried a few over the years. Some have gone well, and some have not. But that's
maybe
all.
If we have a night out with Smarks and Strengths, we'll get a few in you and have you try
that's
one anyway.
That's how it always seems to go. My friends go, there's no way you can do that. I'm like, oh, yeah? And then usually I end up hitting my head on something.
Well, that's fair.
But, yeah. And I just, like, with the right guy, could he go out and have a classic with Triple H? No.
No.
Could he go out and do it with Seth?
It's got to be Seth
or
AJ.
Or a big guy, like someone, because he was always, listen, his matches with guys who can match his athleticism were always good. But his best matches, like the fact, he's in his book, I think he wrote, the best compliment I ever got in my career is I got a decent match out of Psycho Sid. Like, his matches with The Undertaker were unbelievable. Yeah. Selling for a big guy is what he does best. Like
him and Braun?
Him and Braun.
Ooh.
Imagine if it's him and Braun. Him
By the
and
way,
Lars Sullivan.
Who did absolutely nothing last night,
nothing,
too. But
just was there.
Unless, to pause Shawn Michaels for a second. Unless it's just Braun's now a monster, Braun's running through everybody again.
Great, another Braun Strowman reset. I wonder where this is going
to
go.
But hopefully it'll lead to where we all want it to
be. No, the fourth of a movie is usually the best one. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But I guess. I can see Shawn.
Because it's not... I'm interested. I'm interested to see where it would go.
So I think your answer will be Sean to this because we're talking Sean and it's possible he's commentating and like something's got to happen unless he's just being there, which is kind of dumb. Who is more likely to come back and have one more match? Sean, Triple H, because he's going to.
Triple H.
I'm just
going
to put him in there.
Yeah, Hunter's going to get a WrestleMania match every year forever.
Yes, but so Sean.
Got to make that bonus check.
Rock. Or Stone Cold?
I just physically don't think Stone Cold can. Like, I think he couldn't when he was doing it. That's the thing. Is like everything
destroyed knees,
and is everything after the Owen bump is a miracle, and he went on for several years after that. I just don't think he can.
Although he's looking good right now,
he looks great. You know.
Of all the old guys that came out last night.
Ike Reese looks incredible. If he were to step on a football field, I don't think it would go so
well
for him. Like, and I love Ike. He's a friend of mine at this point.
So
Sean,
Dwayne,
I think The Rock is going to do one. I think he's going to have one.
Okay.
And I want, like...
Is it Rock Roman? Is that a WrestleMania?
I think we get Rock Roman at some point. That's what I think we would see.
And as much as I despise Roman's character... I would absolutely pop for that match.
His character's been coming around for me the last couple of weeks.
When he's real...
I just want to see him. Yeah. Just be you.
When he's goofy and real like last night... Listen, I'm sure it was half scripted or whatever bullet points, whatever nonsense he's given. But when he's really giving the facial reactions, the sort of the bro, like, hand over the mouth laughing at you kind of look, I was all for that last night.
And it's a little thing... But, dude, you want me to think you're cool? You can't have a goatee in 2019. Like, he's growing out the beard, and that's just a little thing that I'm like, yo, dads.
It's,
like,
it's character evolvement.
Nerdy dads have goatees. That's it. Like, they're
it's
over in 2019.
It's an evolving character. Like, every wrestler, every male or female in the company can't just go along looking the exact same thing, unless you're John Cena, every single time, every single match, for every single day, every single year. Like, we get it. Facial hair grows. I have a bit of a beard now. 2 weeks ago, I had no beard. Like, allow these characters to grow and evolve. And they don't even do that half the time.
No, I like where his characters... His segment last night frustrated me because it started out well, and then it was just like, all right.
I enjoyed Joe's part of the segment.
Yeah,
too.
No, it was
even
it was
before
great.
Roman.
It was fine. Joe was fine. Everything was good until the match, and it was just like every other Samoa Joe match we've seen for the last year.
He just keeps losing.
He's a monster heel, great talker, intimidating, great look,
loss,
and then he just loses. He just loses. Speaking of evolving characters, I'm going to get to this now. New Moxley video we have out for this crazy Josh Barnett Bloodsport event. It's a GCW event. They've always been insane. They've been promoting backyard shows since I was a little kid. This one's actually going to be in AC, one of the casinos. I don't remember offhand. I think the Showboat. Is the Showboat still open, actually?
I'm not sure.
I think the hotel's open and the casino isn't. Maybe. I got duped into staying there recently, or like a year ago, because it was like $50 for a room. I was like, awesome. Went downstairs and everything was roped up. They're like, yeah, there's no more casino. I was like, oh. Anyway, yeah, and it's going to be this blood sport event. It's like MMA-style pro wrestling matches. I can't wait for Mox to sink his teeth into a storyline in AEW. Right now,
that's what he needs.
He's just like trying to just do everything.
Well, he's trying to prove that he doesn't need the WWE.
He's trying to do everything, and It's just like this video is awesome. All his videos are awesome.
But that's the best part about him right now.
Too much of everything rather than focusing on one thing for me. And getting used to him wearing, like in his G1 Climax matches, getting used to him wearing like regular trunks and like actual sport wrestling boots is weird to me. Yes. Like I'm just looking at him like something's off. He's got an elbow pad.
Yeah, I didn't love him in WWE. Listen, he was a warrior. He was there pretty much as he possibly could be, aside from the one major injury most recently. He was fine. I didn't love his character then, and all he's doing is amplifying that character now times 100. Like, great. Like, I don't know who you're wrestling right now, essentially. You're going to go try and throw yourself through more barbed wire? Like, don't prove that you don't need WWE. Just go out and do you, and that will prove it
for
you.
Well, I don't think he's trying to prove anything to WWE.
That's what it seems to me.
I mean, he proved he doesn't need WWE by not signing his contract. They wanted him. He didn't want them. It has nothing to do with WWE. He's now doing everything he wants to do. That's exactly what he's doing. He's having the kind of matches he wants to have. He's in the G1 Climax. He's the U.S. champ in NJPW. He's doing all this stuff. I just need him to get into a real storyline. That's where I want to see his character evolve. I like that he has ideas about the direction of the business and that he wants to change the presentation of the business. I just want him to get into something.
Yeah, well, it's nothing right now. It's whatever guy could pick a fight with next or storyline.
Well, now he's in the G1 Climax. It's a tournament. It's just he's in matches and
they're
fine. I watched two of them last night. They're good. They're whatever. It's not what I want to see him doing.
No.
We'll see. We'll see. I like that he's got ideas and he's pushing them. I just want to see them be on a weekly episodic television program.
It's exactly what you said a few minutes ago with the whole AEW on YouTube thing or being in the Elite. They just got to get to TV.
Yeah.
And I get that it takes time and they can't just pop on the next day and contracts are with this and that and the third. Like, I get it. But they did all of this stuff, AEW, so far in advance. All these extra pay-per-views, all these extra shows, all this whole lead-up. And yes, obviously, a tease, as we're taught in radio, is a good thing. But it's just so, like, we don't start teasing Wing Bowl when Wing Bowl was around until late November, early December, a few months out. They essentially started teasing TV time a year ago.
They have to build. The difference is they have to build momentum and the
cons.
But
all it's doing for the random fan, the average fan who they want to come in, not the same 20,000 that's been Double or Nothing and All In and All Out and All Up and All Down. They have to make them want it. And all this is doing that's just leading up to nothing still is making me not want it. It's making me annoyed with them.
I don't know what you want then. Like,
I want it now.
Well, you can't have it yet.
Then wait. Then don't tease me
but
yet.
But that's what a tease is. That's what building momentum is.
But not a year-long tease, essentially.
They're giving you a show a month. I mean, that's what it is right now.
Without giving me a taste. So then now they're asking me to pay for something I don't know.
They did two free shows.
Well, prior.
They did two free. I mean, I don't know what you want different, but they give you different. I don't want that different. I want something else.
Exactly.
You really? Yeah, you're just not really a fan. I don't know what to tell you.
Yet, I'm not really a fan of them at all.
I don't know what you want from, like, WWE's not good. Here's something else. Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't know what NJPW is.
Watch it. Like, I don't know what to tell you, Turtle. Yeah. Like, watch something else.
Clearly.
Watch something good. I don't know. Like, what do you want? What do you want from AEW? How do you want them to be different?
I want them to do them. I want them to show me it now. Clearly, I know contracts, blah, blah, blah. We just went over this. I want it in their own way.
That's what their YouTube channels is. It's a completely different way of selling the product than here's Monday Night Raw. Waste 3 hours on commercials. Here's SmackDown. That's basically a replay of Raw. It's a completely different business model.
Although I will, just to give Raw a tiny salt grain of credit, because now you've turned me and I hate it now, even though I still smile every time I've watched every star come out. The picture-in-picture commercial thing, was the first time they've done that this time?
They do it on SmackDown a lot.
No, that they do all the time. I'm talking on Raw.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it on Raw before.
Thank you for them for doing the one thing that we needed them to do.
Yeah.
Rather than come back into a match that's like, oh, AJ Styles was winning when we left commercial. Now AJ Styles is bleeding.
Yeah,
but anyway, back to AEW.
I've never minded commercials during matches because I know they're in a rest hold.
But sometimes they weren't, which was the frustrating part about Raw.
Yeah, they always showed you a replay. I've always thought, like, twice a year they should end a match at commercial just to show you
that
it's
it means
possible.
Something.
Yeah. Like, I just going to commercial, I always remember, like, early Nitros, they'd be like, and if the match ends, we'll show you the ending when you just to leave you in a little bit of suspense.
Well, it's
just
the
to
one,
leave you in a, like, not.
It's the one thing you've wanted since we started this podcast.
Yeah.
Is one thing,
just
quote,
one
unquote,
thing
different.
Just show me one different thing. And that's the other thing I wanted to talk about with the AEW and the Being the Elite channels on YouTube. Sean Spears, again, a guy you got a little familiar with in WWE. If you watched him in NXT, you know, he got over there with the 10 thing. Ty Dillinger was...
I despised that gimmick, but I liked him as a wrestler.
Ty Dillinger was a thing for a little bit. He comes up to the main roster, just gets lost in the shuffle immediately, as so many NXT guys do. I've never, you know, the 10 thing was what it was. It was a fun thing for fans to chant. He was never really over with me beyond that.
But he was talented for sure.
Yeah, talented guy. You know he can work. That's why he's been around so long. He does a sit-down interview with JR on, I believe it was the AEW channel.
I believe so, yeah.
Incredible. Like, actually as a character now, I know what his goals are. I know who he is. I know why he attacked Cody. It all makes sense. They are actually building characters and trying to tell stories there. And it's,
you mean that actually works?
Yeah, it's after I watched all this stuff after Raw last night because I was so frustrated. I was like, maybe I just need to not watch WWE for a couple of weeks like Kevin's doing. Like, I was so angry. Like, SummerSlam has always been my favorite event. There's nothing. There's nothing going into SummerSlam. We're going to put the belt on Natty. Like, I know she's not winning. I know for a fact she's not going to win.
Yeah, I my heart says I agree with you. Anyway.
The most interesting thing they can do, because it's in Toronto, is a screwjob angle.
That'd be fun.
I just know nothing's going to come of that.
You know Brock's not going to
lose. We have a Brock-Seth match. We'll see what the hell happens with that. Whatever. Seth, again, like perfect example, that meme going around. Like, all the click guys hugging, Seth just looking at him like, okay, cool, I guess. All right. Yeah, I'm over here.
Yeah,
like, oh, he's our top guy.
You're not wrong when you said you could have given them a bye week, so to speak. You're not wrong.
Why embarrass all these guys?
I just don't. Some of them, clearly, very much embarrassed. Like, to me, it didn't bother me that Seth wasn't in the hug or anything.
Not in the vault, just... He needs their backup. Your top guy needs a bunch of 50 and 60-year-old men's backup. Razor Ramon looks like he's about to keel over
at
any minute.
I mean, I
Sergeant could've... Slaughter looks like he got dug up. Like, he's already dead, and he was being operated via strings.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm speechless at a job I need to be speaking at right now, but you're not wrong.
I was so disappointed. That's why I was like, I just need to watch some AEW stuff. Maybe they're doing something different. And I actually sat down, watched their YouTube channel, watched them Being the Elite last night. They're doing just 10 times in half, in 13 to 17 minute videos. They're doing twice as much as what WWE's doing in 5 hours of television a week. And, you know, some of their, SmackDown tonight might be good because they'll actually maybe get back to telling some stories.
Well, I mean, there's no more.
And not just jerk off a bunch of legends for 3 hours, but we'll see. I just hated it so much last night because they had an opportunity and did nothing with it. The best performers in the history of your business were all there.
Yeah.
You chose to get nobody over. Just, okay, yeah, here's the pop for the... Just play the music! Just throw in the anthology CD for 3 hours.
And by the way, I probably would have popped for that, too.
It would be the exact same thing if you just played their Titantron highlights. Same exact thing. Have them play with toys. Bring out Zack Ryder and freaking Curt Hawkins, and instead of having him get squashed by the Vikings, play with their toys for 3 hours.
I didn't get that
same
at all.
Same exact thing.
I
was just blown away by the lack of foresight in that show.
You asked me what I wanted different from AEW, from New Japan, aside from just actually watching it, but who the hell has that all that much time, in at least my head, to watch 27 hours of wrestling a week? But that's beside the point. I want what they're not giving us, and I want it now. And I see, know that seems like a kid stomping his feet and said, give this to me now, but I want it now. I've looked, I watched the Sean Spears thing, that was good. Being the lead thing for me is fine, I guess. The few times I've watched that, it just, in some ways, it's just the same five idiots, six idiots, with a pop-in of MJF or whoever, kind of doing the same thing WWE last night, patting themselves on the back. Look, the Young Bucks, look, Cody,
except
blah, blah, blah,
they're
blah,
advancing
blah.
Their characters, and they're top guys in the business. Those guys are all draws. I'll tell you what, no one in WWE right now is a draw. That crowd would have been exactly, no matter what happens in WWE, they will draw the crowd. Not one person is there to see one of the wrestlers. Like, when you went to Monday Night Raw in 1998, you went to see DX. You went to see Stone Cold.
I don't fully
not
agree
one
with
person.
That,
who went to see Seth Rollins last night? Nobody.
I would say, of the possible draws, Seth is definitely on the list. To some, not anymore for me, but to some.
Roman is the only one.
Roman's
Roman
on the
Becky.
List.
They're the only Becky's stars on in the company. Lens.
And I would even give Braun a 10% spot on this list. Because some people just still like seeing him. Like, listen, anytime a dude runs around the damn ring and plows through somebody,
sure,
I'm all here for it.
If
but
he
not,
wasn't on the show last night, if they told you 2 weeks ahead of time, Braun's not going to be on the show, attendance would have been exactly
that's fair.
The
that's
same.
Fair. You're not wrong.
That's at least I know, like, when there's an indie show and the Bucks are on it, more people go. If there's if ROH is in town and Cody's on the show, whoever's on the show,
sure,
more people go. That's just a fact. Like, at least I know, and they are advancing their characters.
If AEW can give me what they gave with Sean Spears, and I guess Tully Blanchard was sort of kind of there a little bit in whatever part of the video. If they can give me that with everybody, that real, quote-unquote, unfiltered, raw, uncut bullshit, I'm all in for it. But that's the type of stuff I really want. Being the elite, seeing the guys walk around, pat each other on the back, the five I've seen, probably, have done nothing but go, eh.
All right, well, you're just missing out on the best performers in the business at this point.
And maybe I am.
Nobody at this point, it's hilarious to call WWE stars sports entertainers. Do you know what they don't do? Entertain anybody. They just sit there, cash their checks. I am so frustrated right now.
Clearly.
They are.
And just to be clear to the audience that is listening here, this is not an act. This is not a radio bit. Like, steam is legitimately coming out of Bill's ears right now.
I watched 3 hours of a show where nobody gave a shit last night. The writers clearly didn't care because they didn't write anything.
Well, they just fired two of them, didn't they?
Yeah. Two guys who've been there for like 7 or 8 years, thank God. Like, maybe they're going to start clearing out. And maybe last night was just a get-off. Like, okay, that's out of the way. We're going to move from here. Paul Heyman's in charge. Maybe. Or maybe it'll just be more of this.
The other thing I sort of liked last night, this was very, very minor, believe me, in terms of everything, if they could do similar to the I'm going to sign you away type stuff, like Bischoff did with Mike Bennett, this is just minor specks in a storm of nonsense last night. I'm good with that too. It's slowly building. I hope, I pray, we do a wrestling podcast that, at least for now, is probably largely going to be dominated by WWE. It has to move forward.
I don't think there will be a brand. I don't even think they'll be pretending to do the brand split.
And that's
by the
fine.
Time
that's
move
all
to Fox. I think that's. I don't even think I heard wild card rule when Roman was out there last night.
Good.
I do think that that's completely over with now.
Until they have another draft around the NFL draft time.
Yeah, sure.
To win people over again for that.
Yeah, and it won't even really be a draft. It'll just be. We pulled names out of a hat this time. I was. My God.
You were legitimately angry. I could see it in your face. I could see the steam coming out of your ears.
What was the point? You just wasted 3 hours of all those. What did you pay all those legends to come back? Because you would have been better off pocketing that money.
Oh, that's not incorrect.
Did you just have money to burn? Like, just set it on fire.
How much do you think they got last night? How much do you think Stone Cold got?
I bet you got $500,000. To drink some beers.
To literally promote his own beer.
Do you think they paid RVD in weed?
It had to have.
That was the only other good...
Him walking
the
out...
The Street Profits literally, doing their... That, That was great.
I am a huge fan of theirs.
The
now.
Street. I don't know what their point is on the main roster at this point.
Supposedly,
but I just enjoy them.
Supposedly, Heyman's a big fan, and this is their kind of
introduction. I enjoy them on NXT. I just don't get what they're doing other than hanging out and being new crime time, basically. Like, we need someone to be talking African American slang. Shad and Jaspard are gone.
I mean, I enjoyed
Shad
their
and JTG.
I enjoyed their segment
they
last
were funny.
Night.
They I were hilarious. Them. I just don't get the point right now.
I hope it's an introduction. I hope
sure.
at TakeOver, whenever next TakeOver is, they're dropping the titles
it
back
looks,
to
I saw
Undisputed
an
Era.
Yeah, I saw an advertisement for them in Undisputed Era. I'm a little behind on NXT, but I assume that means Undisputed Era is going to win the belts.
I hope so. That means they could finally.
Yeah.
And if we know this is a big if. If WWE can do the tag team division correctly now,
they have plenty of
talent. They have a ton of talent.
The fact that they aren't already is ridiculous. Like the Usos, the Revival, Heavy Machinery, War Raiders, now the Street Profits are up. You have Undisputed Era down there.
I don't even mind like, Ryder and Hawkins
yeah,
as
Ryder
the,
and Hawkins as of
like the
as
B team.
Too cool. Yeah, like
yeah.
the team who's going to be one-time champs and like be in some matches when you need a fatal four-way, they're there. Like you have so many teams and they're actual teams and not just two guys thrown together for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I have no idea what they're doing with the tag division, but there's potential there. I just, man.
I guess that's why we're so frustrated, and now you've clearly converted me over to your side of this story. Overall, there is talent
yeah, no,
in the WWE.
You have the last night was the ultimate opportunity to really do something. And you chose, like, that's what made the Attitude Era awesome. Because if we were doing this show in 1998, there'd be 8 things in 2 hours that we were like, and then that happened.
Yep.
And some of it was bad. Some of it was literally Kai and Tai chopping off Val Venus's penis. But you know what? Nothing on the show last night, 20 years from now, I'm going to be talking about.
Not a thing.
Even the bad stuff.
Not a thing. It led me... So the YouTube wormhole that I went down, as I talked to you earlier about looking at returns and all this and that, I don't remember what it was for. It was just a random Raw, but it was in like, remember when The Rock came back, did like the 7-minute behind the scenes walking promo? He ripped on The Miz originally, like he almost crashed into his limo.
Yeah.
I watched that twice today. That is what I want
yeah.
from this show.
Mm-hmm.
That promo, I'll tweet it out, I'll put it on Smarks and Stripes, whatever. That 7-minute promo of just The Rock walking behind, ripping on every single legend at the time, who now some are still wrestling.
Yeah.
And then just giving it all, and just counting down in 3, 2, 1, boom, theme music goes. It was unbelievable. That is what I want.
Yeah.
That in particular is what I want.
Give me just literally anything. That could have been a house show last night. Like, the house show that they're going to put on the network will be better than what they did last night. Because at least there'll be matches. At least there will be matches.
Did you see, before we wrap this up, did you see Orton-Will Ospreay Twitter feud?
Oh,
or Twitter
God,
debate?
No.
Or Twitter whatever?
Can't imagine that was flattering to anybody.
It actually sort of kind of was. Will said something to the effect of, I'm happy where I am, happy every day, blah, 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 blah. And Orton being the jerk-off that he is, comes back and says, good luck with that. But it led them down into almost sort of challenging each other. And Randy kind of saying that, maybe I will. Like,
I did see something.
Ospreay
yeah,
said something
yeah, yeah.
effective, well, I'm not coming over there. I'm tied up here for a while, but you're a former tramp. Come take a break and let's roll and then come back. I kind of be all for that.
Oh,
the mixing of styles.
If Randy wanted to leave and do something like that, it would be awesome. And he could... Like, he could make basically WWE money doing matches like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Got in Japan, around the end. Like, he could challenge all their top guys and make that kind of money doing
I mean,
that.
He's not going to because he's Randy Orton and he's comfortable where he is.
Why get kicked in the head if you don't have to?
Like, exactly. Like, but it just got me thinking. I was like, that'd be pretty damn cool.
It would be. It would be absolutely interesting.
Ask for what I want? There you go. Another thing I want.
That would be awesome. And that's what the dream matches. And that's one of my concerns with AEW is I hope they get into some long-term stuff. Like the babyface promo that Hangman cut on their YouTube channel. now put the belt on Jericho and do a long-term thing with these two. Like, don't pay it off right away. Like, don't pay off Moxley and Omega right away. Like,
that's let's my build, other fear.
Let's with why AEW. Why do all these things immediately?
That's like, my other fear with
build
AEW.
Build it to something. Make sure you are telling stories and not just giving people 5-star Meltzer matches that we top next month with two other guys and two other stories that have nothing to do with this one.
And that's what it's got to be. Like, listen, I have no idea who the hell this dude was, but the dude from Lucha Underground, Luchasaurus with the mask and the tattoos, the guy that was on Big Brother, I never knew who the hell he was before he was here. He's somebody I discovered from AEW. Just mix it up a bit. If you're just like you said, give me all 5-star matches first. Cody and Dustin, then Cody and Dustin versus the Bucks, then Cody versus one Buck, like, then Cody versus the other Buck, whatever.
And that stuff is stuff that isn't going to, like, Cody and Dustin versus the Bucks, that's awesome as a one-off, because it's not something you're going to tell a story with. Dustin's old, and they're all friends. Like, and we know they're all friends,
right.
So we don't need to tell that. And we've already told the feud inside the Bullet Club story in Japan, so we don't need to get there. So that stuff is great for their one-shot pay-per-views.
But it's got to be a one-off.
Yeah.
If it continues to be a thing, like, it can't always be Jericho and Hangman and Cody and Dustin. It can't be their 7 top guys that have literally built this company from the ground up, fighting each other 24/7, 365. That's why Sean Spears, in his promo, everything like that, it could be a nice little...
No, and that's why they're building a Spears. That's why they're building an MJF. Looking forward to seeing who these baby faces are going to be that emerge. Really looking forward to that. Because they're real heavy on good heels right now. And we'll see.
Well, it's got to, you got to turn somebody, and Jericho's too good at a heel.
No.
Cody, I think, is too good at a heel.
Yeah, Cody can play either way, but we'll see what he ends up being on television. He's in an authority role, and if he's in a main event spot, if he's in a top 3 spot, I can't see how you play that as a babyface.
Please don't give me another authority, quote unquote.
They can't possibly do that.
I will be so upset if that's what it turns into.
There can't possibly be evil
another
commissioner screwing over every man baby face. Like,
I pray.
That can't possibly be something.
I don't want Cody to be a Vince. I don't want Cody to be a Shane. I want Cody to be Cody. What I liked about Cody Rhodes, and even Stardust for a good amount of that Stardust time, was that he was exactly who he was.
Stardust was excellent until they stopped pushing it forward and were just like, this guy's a goof. Stardust was excellent until that point.
I read, was it on Jericho's podcast? I don't know. It was on some interview that he did, that he pitched the idea of doing the multiple personality thing, similar to what we want Bray to do, with Cody on SmackDown or Raw or vice versa, and Stardust on the other. I would have loved that too. But if this turns into a Cody is Triple H and the Bucks are the Outlaws type of thing, like, I will very much be upset with
that. Yeah, I don't see it going that way. All right, that is about all the time we have on Smarks and Stripes this week. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Smarks Stripes. We also have a Facebook page, just Smarks and Stripes.
Smarks and Stripes.
Yeah, just Smarks and Stripes. You'll find us there. We're available wherever there are podcasts, so hit that subscribe button. My buddy was complaining to me we're not on Google Play, and then he found us, so we are there too. But I've found us everywhere else, so...
Listen, when I go on and rate ourselves 5 stars because that we're that good, I can find us everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's, absolutely do that. And tell all your pals. We will be back, and we're going to have some special guests coming up. So
yes, we will.
Stay tuned for announcements about that. We'll be putting it out on social media over the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned. My name is Bill for Turtle. Have a great week, everybody.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.